Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of BU with Declan Edwards. Now, I am so excited for today's episode. I've got an absolute treat for you because we've got a very, very, very special man in the studio today to talk about, in his words, voodoo, juju, and Harry Potter shit. But what we're actually going to be going deep on with Jared Shadle from Pure Movement and Performance is how your body is mechanical. So you might be getting punked by pain, in Jared's words, but we're going to talk about, if you are experiencing pain, what that's about and how you can begin taking responsibility for it to get more out of your physical well-being. Because as you guys know, if you've been following the podcast for a while, I do believe that holistic well-being and that flourishing and thriving in life comes from looking after our physical well-being as well as our emotional and mental well-being, which is why I'm so excited to have such an amazing expert such as Jared on the show today to share his expertise and knowledge. So without any further ado, we're going to jump straight into it. Okay, Jared, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Declan.
So for those who don't know you, give us a bit of your bio, get a bit of your background. I always like when we have guest speakers on the show to show the person behind the knowledge as well.
Okay. Well, it's a tough first question, mate.
It is.
I suppose I got to doing what I'm doing from my own personal experiences, which I think that's the case in a lot of industries and people who are out there consider themselves experts in certain fields, is that you spend so much time researching your own issues that suddenly you learn a lot to help other people. So I was dealing with a lot of lower back pain, and I was seeing a lot of different providers, chiros, osteos, physios, massage therapists, and I'd have a little bit of relief for a day or two, and then my issues would come back. I read a quote that was, "Where you think it is, it ain't," and that really resonated with me because I was getting treated for this back pain for my back, but it was actually coming somewhere else. So the saying that I use it saying, "Don't be punked by pain." So for me, my back pain was coming from my hip, which was coming from my ankle. So until I treated the ankle, nothing was ever going to get better. It's the same for someone who has elbow pain. If you have elbow pain, chances are your shoulder doesn't move how it should, or your wrist doesn't. So my journey started when I started to look past where my pain was, start to try to look at the body more as a machine than anything else. And I wasn't taking care of it. I wasn't getting it serviced very regularly. But that was through me not knowing like how to do that. So I really enjoy helping people kind of find out where their issues are coming from and then giving them the knowledge and the know-how how to fix it. Because at the end of the day, if you see your provider, they open up a window for you to make change. Like I can't fix anyone. I can help take away pain. I can help people move better, but it's all on you. You are responsible for your body and continuing to do things that you need to do. Yes, I really enjoy empowering people and kind of showing them what their body is doing or what it's not doing so that they themselves have the power, like I did for myself, give myself the power to help me rather than put it on someone else.
Yeah, and there's so many things in that I'm sitting here going, wow, this resonates so much with our approach to how we do emotional well-being and emotional intelligence. You know, the first one that jumps out is this idea that where you think the problem is normally isn't the problem, and it's this case of treating the symptom rather than the actual root cause. And we see that all the time in coaching when it comes to our emotional well-being. It's really interesting to hear that that's the case in physical pain as well, and you're seeing that quite a lot, because as I mentioned on the episode intro, we need to balance both. We need to look after our physical well-being and our emotional well-being to really thrive and flourish in life. And I know that when people are in pain physically, it does have a flow-on effect to how they feel emotionally as well.
Oh, for sure. If it's in the mind, it's in the body. If it's in the body, it's in the mind.
Yeah, we can't separate them.
Exactly right. Yeah, you can't treat them differently because they are the one. They're the same thing.
So how do you go with, because it's as I said, it's fascinating, this idea that pain is not where we think pain is, because people can go for so long just treating the symptom and maybe it feels better for a little bit. It's like a feel-good hit, but then inevitably it comes back.
Yeah.
So what got you into learning more about that? I know you mentioned your own story and trying all these things that weren't working for you. How did you end up going, holy shit, this makes sense? Like, how do we actually find out what's, you know, leading to this rather than just treating the surface level?
Yeah, well, that's a really great question. It's it was a penny drop moment when I realized that it wasn't my back that was the issue. Like, that was the symptom that was crying the loudest. And the more I spoke to other people and the more I got into the industry, I realized that it was the same for everyone. Like, it all's got to come from somewhere. And the body is so interconnected that it's not isolated. You can't just isolate a muscle. Like, it all works together as a system. Yeah, so the more people I spoke to, the more I realized that everyone was in that same boat. And if someone said they had pain somewhere, it's almost to the point now we can go, okay, so if you have knee pain, let's have a look at the ankle and the hip. And typically you will find something that then bleeds down into that area. That's not to say that if you have knee pain or shoulder pain, that's not an issue. That's an area that needs to be treated for sure. But it's an area that's getting overused and overworked, and it's yelling the loudest.
Mm.
So just by rubbing it and making it feel better is going to settle it for a little while, but then whatever's causing it to do more work is still going to be there, and it's still going to get pissed off, and it's going to yell at you.
Mm, definitely. So how did you go about starting to learn this stuff? Because every time I hear you speak, every time I learn about this stuff from you, I'm fascinated by it, because I think it's much the same as what we're doing in coaching. A lot of people aren't familiar with it yet. It's not a massive field in Australia. It's not really well known by the general public. How did you start finding out about this and going a lot deeper into it and looking at it from, I think it's quite a refreshing angle. You know, I've heard you describe it as Harry Potter shit, but it's cool stuff.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose like anyone, you kind of pick up skills as you go. So I did my massage course and I didn't enjoy it. For me, it just wasn't for me. I needed more, and it's not meant to be an all or nothing course. You're not meant to be an expert once you finish.
Yep.
Like anything, you need a lot of experience to get anywhere. But it gave me a hunger for more knowledge, and the science stuff is really cool. Like, I've done a few courses that are very science, and there's a lot of evidence on it, which is necessary. But then there's some other courses that I've done that maybe the science hasn't caught up with yet.
Yeah.
And you can't really explain how it works or why rubbing on this spot here makes your ass fire, or doing this will increase range of motion. It just, we'll probably never understand the body, how we need to and how it works. But those systems that work with the body as a whole, rather than my leg hurts, treat my leg, looking at things overarching and diving a little without getting too complicated, instead of just working with the tissue, working with the nervous system and the brain. So yeah. I'm going to get this analogy wrong, but you'll know what I'm talking about. So think of it like a computer. You have the brain, that's the hardware, and then the tissues and the muscles, that's the software. You can change the software by like releasing a tight muscle, for example. But if you don't impact the hardware, the software just goes back to doing what the hardware had told it done to begin with.
Mm.
Or vice versa. Whichever one's in control is the one telling it to do it.
Yeah.
And without talking to the highest level, things are not going to change. You're going to trick the nervous system for a little while, and then it's going to go, hey, why is that muscle so relaxed? It needs to be tight because I needed to lock down that joint so you don't move and hurt yourself.
Mm.
So you need to work with the tissue, but as well, try and work with the nervous system, because that's what will update the new software and accept the new ranges of motion or the new action that the body can then have.
Yeah. And that's such a powerful way to look at it as well, in that sense of, well, why is it doing this? Because the brain and the body, they're not stupid. Like, it's not putting you in pain for the sake of putting you in pain.
No, exactly.
It's doing something for a reason, and normally for a potential benefit, for a reason that's like, this is working for a potential gain.
Exactly.
We see the same thing emotionally and mentally with people. They're like, why would I even be thinking in that way? Or why would I be running, doing this or feeling this way? It's like, okay, well, that's a good question. Why? It always happens because at some point it served them, it benefited them. Yeah. Otherwise, why would we learn it? But it's remarkable to hear that's a very similar thing in physical health and in our body physically, that it's doing it for a reason.
Yeah. So a really good example is my ankle.
Yep.
So I broke my distal fib. Woke up on a 3-story pub roof with a broken ankle.
Another podcast episode.
Yeah, that's right. We won't dive into that. So broken ankle, had to get surgery to get a plate put in, had to get surgery to get the plate taken out with an infection later on. In a cast for a long period of time, no rehab was done. So basically my range of motion was very restricted.
Mm.
So I had an accident, and then my brain said, okay, this is the new pattern. This is the new range of motion of your ankle. We're not going to let it move very far because there's injury there.
Yep.
Whether like, and it's been 10, 11 years since that fateful night, and there's no injury, there's no pain, but my brain will still try to lock down that ankle joint.
Mm.
If I'm standing on a yoga mat and I step away, my left indent is still less than my right because my brain still says, don't put too much pressure on that ankle. It's a bad ankle.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though the injury is gone, I've got a lot more range of motion than I used to have in there, the brain still senses it as a threat and it tries to shut it down. Yeah. So if you have tight muscles, if you have lockdown joints, chances are it is the brain's safety mechanism
mm.
to not allow you to move into range of motion that could cause pain or that there has been pain previously. So, I mean, when I do a new client intake, I have a lot of forms for them to fill out, and it's people say, oh, well, I broke my ankle, it's not important. It's like, yes, it's very important.
Mm.
If you sprain an ankle or if you've done any kind of injury, the brain has laid down a new movement patterns to then compensate for that issue, which then lends to all other different things, because the like, tissue can last about 110 years if it's doing what it should, doing moving how it should. But with our life these days, we don't move how we should. We sit down a lot longer than we should, so tissue gets a lot tighter and overused, and we wear away our tissue in a lot shorter than 110 years because by nature, we are designed to compensate.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's it all comes back to the brain.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing how quickly the brain does learn and do something to try and fix it in place. And I was just thinking then, as you were even talking about it, how much that learning or that new pattern, that idea, can incidentally be reinforced. I know with me, when I slipped my disc, a couple of years ago now, I found it was so long to recover because I was repeatedly telling myself this story of, I have a bad back.
Yeah.
I need to keep it safe. I have a bad back. I need to keep it safe. And that was just reinforcing that pattern of, oh, okay, cool. Well, we won't let you bend this far or reach this far or turn this way. And if you do, we'll give you a little pinch so you know that you've done the wrong thing.
Bad,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Get back to normal. But that was holding me up from recovery for so much longer. And I think, do you see people who've sort of incidentally done that where they've been almost babying it or protecting it, but by doing so, it's just been reinforcing that
pattern? Yeah, definitely. So there's a saying that I love, and it's motion is life from Hippocrates, I believe. Also said, let thy food be thy medicine, probably more a famous quote.
Yep.
Motion is life. And for your joints, for example, the only way to get nutrition into a joint is to move it. So if you're not moving, you're not getting nutrients to those joints, and you're not keeping the range of motion you have. The brain is unfortunately super lazy and doesn't want to do work.
Yep.
So if you're not putting a joint or you're not moving into a certain range of motion, it'll just shut that down.
Yep.
And it will stop allowing you to do it because it's a waste of energy for it to keep that range of motion open. It doesn't need it. You're not going there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bit of a catch-22 that if you are in pain, you do need to move. We just need to move without pain. But the quicker you get moving again, the less pain you're going to have and the more range of motion you're going to get back to where you were previously. But I mean, like, if you break an ankle, you're in a cast for 6 weeks. Like, what can you do? You can't move that joint. But the brain is very bad at laying down scar tissue.
Mm.
So it'll just kind of chuck it anywhere and you'll have less than you should have in that range of motion. So any kind of injury, you do need to move, obviously without pain, but you do need to show the body and the brain, hey, I can move, I'm not going to snap, I'm not going to break. And also for yourself, for you to know, and that's probably one of the really hard things, is that you don't want to re-injure yourself and you'll baby it probably too much.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So let's talk about responsibility, because you brought that up at the start and I went, that's such a fascinating thing to talk about, because we see it so often these days is I feel like a lot of people seek experts so that they can pass the baton to someone.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm here for you to fix me. I'm here for you to make me feel better. I'm here for you to give me all the answers. And we see it so much in coaching, and we say much the same thing as you. Like, we can't fix you. We can't save you. We can't change you. We can't force you to do jack shit.
Yeah.
We can provide cool tools, techniques, strategies. We can provide a window. We can provide opportunity. We can help you be more aware. But you've got to fucking take action.
It is on you.
Yeah, one of the ways my first coach taught me was, you know, we can lead you to the door, but you've got to step through it.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a powerful thing for any service provider to really recognize that it's not on us, but then for the individual as well to recognize, hang on, this has to be a partnership.
It does.
We always say, you know, we're experts on emotional intelligence, but you're the expert on you.
Yeah.
And I imagine you're much the same. You may be an expert on what you do, but they're the expert on them and their life.
Yeah, exactly. That's something that I try to get across early on because in my intake form, one of the questions is, what do you want to achieve from this treatment? And the amount of times someone says a miracle or to be fixed is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm always honest, I cannot fix you.
Yep.
We can open up a window. So if you see someone, we open up a window where we've turned down pain, got some more range of motion, some more movement. But if you're not doing your homework to reinforce things, that window is just going to shut.
Mm.
How quickly it shuts and you go back to normal, what your normal is, which is probably pain and restricted range of motion. I don't know. It could be a day, it could be 3, it could be 5, it could be 2 weeks, it could be 6 weeks. It'll depend on the individual. Everyone is different. But if you don't take responsibility for your body, you're just going to be chasing that quick fix, which there is absolutely no quick fix. As I said, my ankle 11 years ago, I broke it.
Yeah.
I still have restriction on it now.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, like, what sitting will do, like they say, sitting is the new smoking and it's really bad. And I would argue any posture is really bad. If you stand at a desk for 8 hours a day, that's going to be really bad for you as well because the body craves movement.
Yes.
But if you do sit down for work every single day, and when you have breakfast and when you drive to work in the morning, when you get home from work and watch TV and have dinner, it is, I'm not saying like you need to quit your job and find a job where you can stand up, but it is your responsibility to undo the shit that you're doing by doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the same if you're standing or you're doing anything, or if you're a baseball pitcher and you throw 1,000 pitches a week on your right arm, it's taking its toll. Don't quit baseball, but you've got to do something to make that okay, to undo what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you love CrossFit, for example, to a lot of CrossFit people, that's great. Like functional movement is awesome. But functional movement on dysfunctional joints is just dangerous.
Yeah.
So it is your responsibility to make sure you can move in the range of motion that you're asking your body to do it in there.
Don't
insult your body and try to do something that you know you can't do and you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Same if you love Zumba. If you love anything you love, like it is your responsibility to look after your body to make sure it can do what it needs to do for that. Otherwise, there's going to be injury. It's going to come. Injury and pain don't come from typically one bad movement or like one instance. It is thousands of repetitive shit movements, wearing away the tissue, overworking joints. That only takes 1 second for it to rear its ugly head. That's why so many people slip a disc reaching into a fridge or starting a lawnmower.
Yeah.
It's not the lawnmowers. It's not the whatever you're getting out of the fridge. It's the repetitive shit movement that you put through your body. But you don't know what you don't know.
Mm.
So that is the hard thing, and that is why I like giving people homework and teaching people and trying to get you to take responsibility for your body, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, I think there's so much to be said about what you do with people's physical well-being, what we do with people's emotional well-being, basically being a role of education and providing a lot more awareness and knowledge. But that knowledge is fucking useless if they don't take it into action.
Exactly.
And we say that so often. Knowledge alone is worthless. You know, lasting change requires action. I love that you mentioned like the idea of lasting change also requiring a little bit of patience with ourselves and with our bodies and what we're changing. Because as you mentioned, they didn't get into this state of pain overnight.
That's right, yeah.
So we can't expect a positive change overnight. But so frequently it is that case. It's like, I want something to change now. Well, fuck, it's going to take a little bit of time to undo what our brains decided is the right thing to do.
Yeah, you've been sitting in a chair for 8 hours a day, 10 years of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
No shit, you have back pain or sore shoulders. So, yeah, you've got to think about how long you've been doing something for and then accept that it's going to take time.
Mm.
And there's no quick fix.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, sometimes we have some really cool results with people. And it can seem like it's voodoo and it's juju and
all the good stuff.
It is that miracle, and I fucking love that shit because it's really cool. But the reality is, for most people, your back hurts because your hips are as tight as an Eskimo's nutsack from sitting down all the time. Until you open them up, the back pain's not going to go away. No matter how much Voltaren or heat packs you put on it, you've got to fix your body's like a machine. It's like a car. So if you think if you've got a tire that's off, it's kind of facing the wrong way a little bit.
Yep.
You can still drive. You can still go a long way, but it's going to wear shit down. And eventually something's going to go real wrong. But you might have done 40,000 Ks before it happened. So a joint in the body is the same. If you've got a joint that's not moving how it should, you can still move. I don't care if you haven't got pain. Dysfunctional movement doesn't always equal pain. So you can move really shit and say, oh, that didn't hurt my deadlift, my back when I deadlift, even though it's round and you look like you're making the shape of a C. You are wearing away tissue in a bad way, and eventually that's going to come back and bite you in the ass, probably with a slip disc that's pushing your sciatic nerve, which literally feels like something's biting you in the ass.
So
it's looking at the body as a machine is just a really simple way to look at it. Because it's like, it's simple that you just do tests. Like, that's one of my big thing is I want to test and I want to assess what's going on, because you can lie to me, but your body won't. If I want to move something to see if it moves properly, if it doesn't move properly, like, I know that without this joint functioning how it should, it's going to chew your lower back up. Or that your knee's going to cave in, and eventually you're going to have that pain. The hardest thing is, like, prevention. Like, we don't focus on prevention.
We're not a very preventative species. I was going to say, do you feel like part of being responsible for your body is being proactive and preventative, which goes against basically our entire medical system and how it's set up?
Unfortunately, it does. And it can be hard for people to want to put time and effort into them.
And money as well.
I mean, like, it's not until we have an injury that we kind of think, oh shit, now I have not been doing what I should do.
And
I'm guilty of that myself. I don't always do the homework that I prescribe, but I definitely try to do it. And I think you've got to try to fall in love with the process and see it as that you're looking after yourself. And as I said, like, don't insult your body. Like, I just got back from a trip to Brisbane, so I've been sitting a lot, been on planes, been in cars, but also ate a lot of shit food and drank a lot of piss. And so I really want to go to the gym and hammer myself with a good workout to make myself feel better. But if I do, my body's not probably in the best state to do it.
I probably
need to take a step back, and I probably need to do a bit more restorative stuff on my hips and my shoulders to open myself up so that when I, if I do want to train, I'm not going to then injure myself. So,
because it seems to be with a lot of people, you know, what we notice in when people come to our coaching program, they've tried all these other different approaches for emotional well-being. I imagine you'd see a very similar thing in physical well-being. Tried all these different approaches, but it just follows this really zigzaggy pattern of, I'm in pain, I'll try something. Cool, I'm not in pain anymore, I'll stop doing it. And then a couple of months go by, I'm back in pain. Oh, why am I back in pain? Oh, that last thing mustn't have worked properly, so now I'll try a new thing. And we're just jumping between fields and jumping between ideas or methods, going, what's going to be the one that fixes me forever? And maybe it's not the, you know, it's not the holy grail method. It's, are you actually taking care of yourself and following through on this and making this a regular practice?
Physical and emotional things that you do take a toll.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like, I train a lot of runners. I'm not going to tell you to stop running, but I'm going to tell you that if your hips aren't where they should be, you need to fix them before you run more. Or if your ankle doesn't move, that's going to equal knee pain. So do you want to do what you do now forever? Like, do you want to, not do you want to run tomorrow, but do you want to run when you're 80 or you're 90? Like, and that is an extremely hard thing to see, but day-to-day life and things we do takes a toll. So we need to have a plan and actions that we can do to help undo that, whether it's like 10 or 15 minutes a night of stretching before you go to bed. Or if you've done a gym class, maybe just sit back and do some stretching after that. Or do you book yourself in a treatment every, doesn't have to be weekly. I see people fortnightly, monthly, six weekly. Doesn't have to be for an issue. It can just be to keep your body moving to avoid issues. So, unfortunately, I hate to break it to you, but there's no magic pill. There's no simple fix. If you have an issue, it's probably because of things that you're doing and you need to undo some shit. Which I can't do for you. I can help. I can take away a lot of pain. I can inflict a lot of pain while we're doing it.
Unfortunately, depending on how nice they are, right?
Unfortunately, that's just how it is. But yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, to prioritize yourself with money, time, and things like that to look after an issue. But yeah, I would encourage people not to wait until, and the more you know, the more you know how to look after yourself. That's not an overnight thing of, I don't know what to do or how to stretch, and knowing everything. And I've got to be careful when I do give people homework, because there's so much stuff that everyone can do.
Yeah.
But one or two things is plenty. Any more than that, it's kind of, I get the blank stare and...
gets overwhelming.
Text the next day saying, what was that stretch or how did I do that kind of thing. So it's just got to be bit by bit. Don't stop doing what you love. I would never tell someone. Oh, maybe that's probably not true. Maybe I have to tell someone one day if they're doing things that's really detrimental. But I just want to help people do what they love to do for as long as they can do it.
Yeah, and I love the idea of having that sight on longevity, because we are unfortunately a species that's very short-sighted. This is weird complex. We're the only species in the world with this big chunky bit of the brain at the front, which allows us to have future thought and imagination and creation. And that's why we're at the top of the food chain, is because of that. But we don't really utilize it all that well. No. We're really clear in the short term. And then even when we do think long term, it's very blurry. But tends to be worst case outcome focused for a lot of people. Yeah, and
definitely.
So it's so easy to get caught up in this, well, I'll just do what feels right now.
Yeah.
Which, as you've already said, can lead to long-term repercussions.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in pain now. I better do something. Oh, hang on. You didn't fix my back pain.
Yeah.
No, you spent 20 years kicking the shit out of it. I'm sorry that 60 minutes is not going to... it's not going to fix everything that's going on. And then you go and do more of it when you leave here. So, unfortunately, you are responsible. I am responsible. I remind myself quite often when I probably don't do my homework.
Yep.
Things start to kind of creep back in. You need to know your body. We are so disconnected mentally, emotionally, physically from our bodies. If you don't know your body, like, how can you move a step in the right direction? Because I guarantee you, the stretches that you do or the movement you do is probably ones that you're good at.
Yeah.
And because it's easy and it doesn't hurt. But YouTube couch stretch and give that a go, because that's one stretch that would help almost everyone, and it hurts like buggery. It is, 2 minutes of being extremely uncomfortable, which we don't like, but it's what we need.
Such a powerful statement there, because you're right. Like, the things that we need in life are the things that make us uncomfortable and push us. That's how we grow. Like, the human species, by like all physical means and mental and emotional means, we grow by adaptation. Yeah. And adaptation only occurs, you mentioned earlier, the brain's very lazy. It's like, why would I change if I don't have to?
Exactly, yeah.
But if we push it out of its comfort zone, if we challenge ourselves, that's where we get change. That's where we get growth. That's where we get adaptation. So I love the idea of, you know what, maybe it is about this little bit of discomfort now.
Yeah.
Because that's what we need to provide this longer term, sense of well-being.
Yeah, there's a reason it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You don't own that space. You don't own that movement. So you like anything, if you're uncomfortable with it, it's kind of like an arrow in that direction. You should use that as a compass. Maybe I shouldn't do the same stretch I do every single day when I'm just hanging out there.
Yeah.
I need to try to chase that uncomfortable feeling to then get some change.
Definitely.
But in saying that, I mean, it goes back to not knowing what you don't know. And a lot of times people might feel like they're doing what they need to do. And it is frustrating. Yeah. To go back to my personal experience, I used to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I would go to the gym for 45 minutes doing stretches and stuff that I thought I needed to do before I trained.
Yep.
I would then go to the place I was training at half an hour early, and then do more stuff, and then do their warm up for my 6:30 class, and then train.
Yep.
So I was like it was an hour and a half every day before training that I felt like I needed to do before I was able to train.
Yeah.
And now that's missing the mark. Like, if you have to do that every single day and things aren't changing, then you're missing something like fundamental here.
Yeah.
So And it was very frustrating because I would spend so much time and then the next morning I'd wake up and I'd be back at square one.
Mm.
So I understand people who get frustrated and think that things don't necessarily work, or they stretch a hamstring every single day and it never gets any better. And that's where we've got to go, well, maybe the hamstring's not the issue.
Yeah.
Maybe it's your ass that doesn't work and the hamstring has to stay tight to do the job of something else.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a journey. I'm still learning. Everyone still learns. But yeah, you got to do it. Motion is life.
Definitely. And so to bring sort of this interview, of course, I mean, I could talk to you for hours about this stuff because I'm fascinated by it. I think there's much cool correlation between how we teach emotional well-being and how you teach physical well-being. There's just so many overlaps that I just get really excited about it. But I love the way that you make what you do understandable, accessible, and actionable for people, in the sense that it doesn't have to be 3, 4, 5 hours a day of work. It's, well, how do we start doing this? What are the first steps? Not trying to do these giant leaps.
Yeah.
So you already mentioned the couch stretch being a great thing for people to check out on YouTube.
Yeah.
What are some other little tips and tricks you can recommend for people? You mentioned the value and importance of getting to know their body and getting back in touch with their body and reconnecting with it. How can people begin doing that? So if someone's listened to this podcast and gone, holy shit, this guy's talking to me.
Yeah.
Where could they start?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, you probably need to see someone, whether that be me or someone else, to try to find out how your body is moving, what joints are doing what, where your restrictions are. It's like a map. If you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to where you want to get to.
Yeah.
So like that is extremely important to understand where you are. Bit of homework that everyone gets is just breathing.
Yeah.
And it's not very sexy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But it does the job so well. But it
helps. Yeah. So if I was to test my ankle range of motion and then I was to lay on the ground, do some breathing, and then retest my ankle range, I'd have more range of motion in my ankle after doing the breathing.
Yeah.
Because it's talking directly to my nervous system to down-regulate and relax it.
Yep.
So when my nervous system feels safer, it unlocks my joints and I have more range of motion.
Yeah.
So 20 diaphragmatic breaths before bed will help anyone.
Yeah. And just to clarify, because I know a lot of people, because we teach breathing as well in our program.
Yep.
And they'll be like, what do you mean breathing? I breathe every day. That's why I'm alive, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, I know you breathe every day, but do you do it right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How shallow is that breath?
Yeah, so what do you mean by diaphragmatic breathing for people? Yeah.
So just that there are heaps of different types, and if you are familiar, you can kind of pick anyone you want. I just opt for the simple in through the nose, expanding the belly, and then just a breath out through the mouth as in like a sigh.
Yep.
So you don't need to count or anything. You just want to breathe in through the nose, pushing the belly out as much as you can. So trying to make it a belly breath, not raising the chest or the shoulders at all. And then just out through the mouth 20 times. Some will fall asleep before you get to the 20, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've used it with a couple of our clients who struggle to go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
Teach them that and then out.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, some will do the 20 not fall asleep.
Yep.
Which is also fantastic because you just spend a good amount of time really down-regulating that nervous system and helping it relax and feel better. So, yeah, like breathing is simple. Otherwise, like anything, you're not an expert. Like if you don't know, maybe you need to go and see someone who can help you paint a picture of where you're at, and then that way you know, okay, what do I need to do? I know you've worked with Rod Cooper before, Movement Collective.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Anywhere like that is going to have some really cool movement practices you can jump on. Myself, I have a pretty extensive kind of assessment process when I first see someone.
Mm.
And a lot of people I see is not for pain.
Yeah.
It's just to move better.
Yeah.
Or to set up a mobility program specific to their body and their needs.
Mm.
Because that's the other thing I see quite often is someone doing a stretch that they don't need to do.
Yeah, it's just
and that's just a piss in the wind. Like that's a waste of time.
Yeah.
That's better than not doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've only got a limited amount of time.
Yep.
A little amount of willpower to do this kind of shit.
Yep.
You need to make sure bang for buck you're doing the most important thing, which is different for you, which is different for me, different from anyone out there.
Man, there's so much in how you run what you do that just aligns with our values. This sense of tailoring it to the individual, making sure it's, you know, specific to them and suits their needs and it's efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to honor people and go, they don't have all day. They don't have unlimited resources for this. So how do we help people? Yes, they're taking responsibility for it, but I feel like our responsibility is like, well, how can we help them get the best bang for their buck? How can we help them get the most efficient solution here? Yeah, it's still on them to follow through on it.
Yeah.
But obviously the gold standard is always to, as you said, work with a professional, work with an expert, learn from them and get that tailored approach.
Yeah, yeah. And I can totally understand that it's not an easy thing to look after yourself, and it's also things come at a financial cost. That's just anything. You want to do anything better, you go see someone, it's going to cost you a bit of money.
Yep.
I try to find ways to make it more accessible. Working on a good time to drop my new Pure Movement Performance Mobility program that I'm working on that will be a seminar on finding out all your issues and then giving you a booklet and making a blueprint for you right on that day.
Nice.
So you know what you can and can't do. If your ankle doesn't move more than 35 degrees, add this exercise to your mobility list.
Yeah, nice.
Because that way, people don't need to keep coming back and get spoon-fed.
Mm.
I can give them all this information. And if they have a shoulder issue, they can just go, oh, well, where's that booklet with the shoulder things that I can do? Hopefully, that's gonna help get more information out and help people move better.
Definitely. And if people did want to reach out to you and learn more from you one-on-one and maybe booking an assessment to find out more about where they're at, so they get a much clearer idea of where they want to go and how to get there, how can they do that? So what's the best way to reach out to you?
Probably on my Facebook page, Pure Movement and Performance. Just shoot me a message. I'm usually pretty good on that. I'm bad on normal Facebook. But I will check my business page every day. So otherwise, you can send me a text or give me a call. 0401-871-554. No naked photos, please. It's really awkward. Jordan, stop sending photos. Facebook best is probably just the easiest way to do it. And I can get back to you. That way, if I'm with clients, I don't miss the call. We play phone tag.
Yep.
We can just get back in our own time.
Perfect. Well, mate, honestly, thank you so much again for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge. And mate, I'm really excited for this to go live and for everyone to hear this. There's so much value and knowledge and yeah, it's been really great.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Whoa, that guy is an absolute firecracker. I mean, he was a little bit more reserved today than he normally is. Some of the jokes he cracks are absolutely ridiculous normally, which is why we love having him on the show and speaking at our live events. But I hope you guys got as much value out of that as I did. I cannot get over how much knowledge and expertise Jared has when it comes to physical well-being and how people can learn to look after their bodies better. So look, as he mentioned, if you did want to get in touch with him to find out more about an assessment and how you can begin looking after your physical well-being in a much more tailored and strategic way, jump on his Facebook page, Pure Movement and Performance. Shoot him a message. This guy's an absolute freak. And yeah, I know he's going to look after you, but other than that, I'll see you guys on the podcast next week. And until then, as always, be empowered, be exceptional, be you.